Hello and welcome to Catholic Bites, a podcast for busy Catholics. Why do you laugh every time I start this?
I just like to smile. Smiling is my favorite.
That's what it is. Okay, yeah. This is Father Conrad. I have with me Father Chris. And today we are going to remedy an issue in the podcast, which is when we first started recording these podcasts, We made a podcast about the Lord of the Rings. But Leslie, who is the boss and the producer, evidently has not found that very applicable.
Which, can I just incidentally say, this would have, so when I was in college, one of my like prerequisites for like women that I would date, they had to like Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
If they didn't, I would know like this person probably doesn't appreciate.
And now you're a priest.
No, I was like, she could be pagan, she could be whatever, but like, I need you to appreciate truth, goodness, and beauty. And if you don't like Lord of the Rings, I would seriously question.
Okay, well, anyway, Leslie appreciates the Lord of the Rings, but that podcast, the recording wasn't very good, so we never ended up airing it. So we're going to remedy that by talking today about the Lord of the Rings and how it is awesome.
And not my dating life.
No, exactly. Yeah, we're definitely, we're saving for a whole 5-part series down the road. But for this one, we're going to talk about the Lord of the Rings, which some people just think that's just a nerdy thing that people do. They read fantasy books like that and have rooms in their houses decorated with swords and stuff like that, like the one that's right behind your back right now.
Yes.
What is it that's particularly Catholic? What is it that the Lord of the Rings teaches us? Why is it so important? Why is it such a great work for us to read right now?
Yeah, I think especially right now in our time, Lord of the Rings has a lot to say because Tolkien is writing from the perspective of Catholic hope. So somebody who is reading his works, and one of the lines he says in Lord of the Rings is that the elves are fighting the long defeat. And somebody said, like, how can you, like, why is it the long defeat? And he said, I'm Catholic. It's how we see things. It's we're fighting the long defeat, and yet with great hope, because we have this otherworldly salvation that comes. And so I think it's a story about hope, and just I'm going to nerd out real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
One of my favorite quotes of Tolkien, and he wrote a letter to his son during World War II, towards the end of World War II. And Tolkien fought in World War I, so he was familiar with the horrors of trench warfare, and obviously lived in during World War II. His son was in South Africa, I think. And so he's writing a letter to his son towards the end, and he said, "I'm sometimes appalled by the sheer amount of human misery over the whole of this benighted planet. Families separated from loved ones, all these different things." And he goes on and he said, "But all we do know, and this to a large extent from personal experience, is that evil labors with great power and perpetual success in vain, preparing always only the soil for the seed of unexpected good to sprout in."
And that, I mean, this brings us to the Lord of the Rings, and I think we should probably, before we go much further, give a brief summation of the plot for those who haven't seen the movies or read the books and are, in general, you know, the only exposure to the outside world, I guess, they have is this podcast, because, like, how have you not read them yet? But anyway, so Lord of the Rings is the story of the hobbit Frodo, who has been received this ring of power, which is tempting and mysterious and needs to be destroyed. And he's going on this utterly hopeless, it seems like, quest to the land of Mordor, where the Dark Lord Sauron is and who is mustering his armies to try and conquer the world. And it's all about him and the other characters, his companions, fighting this battle against evil.
Which they know, like, they keep losing in a sense. I mean, it's just this, it always seems like evil has the upper hand.
Yeah. And it, every stage, evil is just so overwhelming. And every fight they have is always, they're always the underdog. There's never a point where they're like, oh yeah, we got this. No problem. Yeah, those orcs, they're gone. It's always so overwhelming. And the last, like, you know, book of the trilogy, the last book of the series, where Frodo is walking towards this mountain of fire to destroy this ring, it's just, how the heck is he going to survive?
Yeah.
How's this going to happen? And so it's really a story of tremendous hope.
Right.
And hope being this thing that glimmers, not necessarily something that's certain, you know?
Exactly. It's hope that really has no reason to be hoped for from the way things seem to be going. And yet they continue to hope.
Exactly.
So Yeah, so again, it's just this he's telling this story of how good continues to triumph over evil, even though evil seems to have more power.
And so, okay, so taking that note.
Yes.
What would you say to someone who says, well, I just don't like fantasy. Like, I don't like, why do there have to be elves in this?
Yeah.
You know, why does there have to be dragons and Balrogs and dwarves and stuff like that?
Okay.
How is that? Is there really any great literature with that kind of stuff in it? What would your response be?
Sure. So what Tolkien and his friend C.S. Lewis argued is that fantasy has this way of, when we come back into the normal world, the day-to-day world, we see things differently because we've encountered images of things that we experience here in a sort of personalized form in the world. So an elf, for example, in Tolkien's fantasy world, elves are what it looks like for immortal beings to live in mortal lands. Okay, when we come back now to our own everyday experience, as a Christian, we are immortal beings living in mortal lands. And we now have a better understanding, in a sense, of what that looks like, and a more beautiful, and we're able to appreciate our lives in that sense better. So I think fantasy can really enchant us once again in a very disenchanted world.
And I think also it with Lord of the Rings, it teaches lessons about virtue and about struggle and fortitude and moral decision and sin through a fun story or like an interesting story. I mean, I first started reading these books when I was in second grade, and I was not reading it because it was a paragon of Catholic teaching, you know, or something like that. I was reading it because it was a great story. But by reading the story, by entering into this otherworldly place, I learned about courage, and I learned about the temptation of sin. And like, the ring is tempting everyone it passes to have it. Just come on, just, you can do it. You take this power. And this, the fight that goes into rejecting that again and again and again and again. And so it speaks to us in a way that that we need to hear. Whereas if someone had just come up to me when I was in second grade and said, well, here, this is how sin works and this is how courage works, and it's you know, one of the principal virtues, and you gotta do this and you gotta do that, I wouldn't have necessarily learned those lessons as well as I did through entering into the story.
And I think the other good thing about fantasy is that it forces us to be little children again. Jesus says, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to have the humility of mind that a child has that says, I don't have the world figured out. And fantasy allows us to re-enter that mindset of like, there are things that are beyond my understanding because the God who created us is infinite. And so there's always more. There's always room for wonder and just amazing things to happen. And we can get a very sterile mind by being adults. And so reading fantasy forces us to be little children. And especially this story, the hobbits, these little know-nothings, kind of, they're simple folk, end up being the heroes because of their littleness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the little way. It's very gospel centric in that respect.
Exactly. Exactly. So then maybe we can touch on a practical thing, which is, should people watch the movies or read the books?
sorry, my face did not get communicated through the microphone.
He gagged off mic just then. So
no, okay. So the movies, they're good movies for what they are. You know, I think Peter Jackson did a great job directing them. They're fun for sure. The books are able to communicate a Catholic worldview in such a beautiful way, and just give us imagination again. And so absolutely read the books. Here's the thing with reading the book, though. The first probably 150 pages, it's slow.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, he's describing the world and everything. But what he's doing in that is he's taking us through a novitiate experience of like, I'm entering into this world.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you've got to kind of commit. And you have to become a certain person in order to like enter in and appreciate what's being communicated.
Yeah, and it flies after that.
Oh my gosh, it gets really exciting.
Once you get into the story, man, it is just, I mean, I reread them every year.
Yeah.
So
it's so good.
It's so fantastic. So good. The Lord of the Rings, everyone should go read them.
Absolutely.
you can start with The Hobbit, but you don't necessarily have to start with The Hobbit. But then it's The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, The Return of the King. And then you can read The Silmarillion.
Okay.
Which is even more fun.
And if you read them, the chances of you finding a good man to marry, if you're a woman, just went up.
You're off the market.
No, Chris. Not me, but like other guys that appreciate Lord of the Rings.
I don't necessarily obviously think that's
not
true.
Me.
That was not my experience. Okay, well, that's our second attempt at a nerdy podcast about the Lord of the Rings. So hopefully you all haven't unsubscribed to the podcast by this point. Thank you, Father Chris, for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to listen to more great podcasts, you can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com. Or you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and God bless you.